From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, a resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Just a note about how significant it is when occasional givers become regular givers. We do deeply appreciate those who make occasional gifts, but regular gifts are so important to the sustainability of the ministry. You can join the CRI support team as a member by simply going to the web at equip.org/donate. And when you become a regular support team member, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Please keep that in mind. It would really help this ministry help people quite literally around the world. Let's go first to Ryan. He's listening in Canada on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I was addicted to pornography before coming to Christ, and that baggage didn't disappear when I came to the Lord years ago. So it was a constant fight with the flesh. Sometimes I feel I didn't even put up much of a fight at all. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. That really shook me up, but it allowed me to get real serious with my sin. Feeling godly sorrow, I was able to fully repent of my sin and have not fallen back into it since, thank God. I love the Lord now more than ever, even despite my condition. I'm producing more spiritual fruit than ever, trying to use my remaining time, bringing people to the Lord, bringing glory to His name. My question is, how can I be assured that the warning in Hebrews 10:26 doesn't apply to me as a believer, desperately and genuinely seeking forgiveness in Christ and restoring that relationship? It tears me up thinking that His mercy, love, and goodness would no longer be available to me anymore. My heart wants Jesus more than anything, even more than beating this disease. I'm hoping you can calm my troubled heart. I just fear I've stepped out too far, or I've sinned too long, or gone on in willful sin. Maybe you can help me understand how that applies to me.
Well, it doesn't apply to you. I can say without any equivocation whatsoever that the intent of your heart, so beautifully expressed in the prologue to the question, demonstrates that you are a child of God, that you are in His hand, and nothing will snatch you out of His hand. You obviously, as a believer, need to partake of the means of grace. We partake of the means of grace through communion or union with God that we experience daily as we commune with Him in prayer. We experience that unity or this communion with God as we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we do that, we are, in fact, interpenetrated by divine energy. You can experience Christ in a very real and tangible fashion. And I think what you have been communicating is that you are experiencing Christ. You have a heart that yearns after God like the deer pants after water brooks. You think of the horrendous sins that were committed by the quintessential king of Israel, King David, and yet he was restored when he prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." When you have a heart that seeks after God, God is not saying, you know, there was a technicality in your past and that technicality now excludes you forever. That's not the message of Scripture. Rather, the message of Scripture is that if you desire Christ, Christ is yours. And you have already pointed out that Hebrews 10 does not apply to you. Hebrews 10 says that if you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, which means that if you're continuously, willfully rejecting the love and grace that could be yours, there is no hope of redemption. But far from rejecting, you have received the grace that could be yours. So this does not apply to you. You're not apostate. Rather, you are apostolic. You are following the grace and goodness of God.
What about the word sanctified that's used in that passage? I'm assuming it's not talking about the Christian experience of sanctification.
Yeah, think about the context in Hebrews. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of God? In other words, rejecting the one whose blood is in the covenant. You are one who has come under the influence of God's covenant blessings and has professed to have turned away from darkness to light, and therefore you have been sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay, and I assume your assessment of me would also hold up for Hebrews 6. As well as Hebrews 10:26 that we just discussed, that those simply don't apply to me because, you know, Christ is still there waiting for me, ready to forgive me and ready to restore that fellowship.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell by the tenor of the conversation that that fellowship has been restored, that you are experiencing communion with God. To fall away in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to a Hebrew or a Jew who falls back into bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through that which was finished by Christ. So someone who professes Christ, not someone who possesses Christ. You are not a professor, someone who is professing Christ, but someone who in reality is possessing Christ. Christ is yours and you are his. And therefore, of a surety, I can tell you without one ounce of equivocation that you are his and he is yours. If you desire to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, he's not going to keep you out on a technicality. Those who have committed unpardonable sins are those who willfully, continuously, in an ongoing fashion, reject the love and grace that could be theirs.
Oh, that's beautiful, Hank. Like I said, I want and I need Jesus more than I need to beat this cancer. He's more important to me than a cure. He's the most important thing in my life. And, you know, this cancer gave me a wake-up call. And if it was God, you know, restoring anything that needed to be restored, I look at it as a blessing. So that's wonderful news to hear that, you know, I can go back to Christ with confidence and just continue walking with him. That's wonderful.
Yeah, continue participating in his graces. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much for Ryan, his testimony to the world even at this moment, an unflinching testimony of your grace. And Lord, we confess that we are all sinners in thought, word, and deed. And we thank you so much for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that restores and refreshes and cleanses from sin. Oh Lord, I pray that you will give to Ryan an unshakable certainty that he is yours and you are his. And Lord, I pray that he may be a continual testimony to your grace and love and power, so that as people see him and see that he has experienced grace in the midst of pain, that they themselves may be cleansed and purified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Ryan and his testimony, not only to your body, but to a watching world. We pray this not by might, nor by power, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Ryan. I don't know what I can do for you, but if there is anything I can do to be a support to you, please let us know.
Perfect. No, you've already been such a support to me, just building me up, helping a wounded brother just gain some confidence back to go, you know, into the throne room and, you know, as Christ is an advocate for me, and just having that confidence, knowing that, you know, he's still there for me, and that's huge. That's all I want.
He's there more than ever. Bless you, my brother.
I bless you, Hank.
We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. Bob next. He's listening in Indiana. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have been reading the Bible, and I have a hard time understanding. It seems like there's parables and different things that come along. You say, well, what is this and what is this? And I know that James says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And I have asked for that, but I'm still having a real problem understanding a lot of the scriptures. Pray about it, and I'm just having a tough time.
I think what's important first and foremost is to understand the main and the plain things of Scripture, the deity of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of sin, the sufficiency of the canon, the Word of God, which is inspired by God, the Trinity, which is on the one hand unknowable, incomprehensible, on the other hand, we can apprehend from Scripture, when God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, the resurrection, which gives us hope. Even as we were just having a conversation with Ryan, we realize immediately that the ultimate hope is not to come to a peaceful way to avoid the maladies of life like brain cancer, but rather to overcome them through the power and certainty of resurrection, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the reality of being new creations in Christ. The old is past, the new has come. And the fact that Jesus most surely will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. Those are things that are main and plain in that they're simply apprehended in Scripture. They're clearly communicated such that a child can understand them just as a theologian can understand them, or at least apprehend them from the pages of Scripture. But there are many secondary issues that take a lot of work. And I say they take a lot of work in that they're both a science and an art. The science means that you master the rules or the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation. The art in that the more that you make application of the rules, the better you get at it. So again, it is an art and a science, and you become a person who is proficient rightly dividing the word of truth, as opposed to one who must blush with embarrassment because they do not know how to rightly read Scripture. You become that through effort. What I can do is I can send you a copy of an outline that I did using the acronym LIGHTS. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart that teaches you the art and science of biblical interpretation. If you hang on, be happy to put that into your hands. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Tiffany in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Hank. My question was, can you be in a Christian cult such as the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, or anything like that, and still be saved?
Well, I wouldn't equate all those groups. They all have distinctions, and I don't know that I would use the word cult for Adventists. I mean, I think there certainly are Adventists that are very cultic. I have run into my fair share of them over the years who have said that I have taken on the mark of the beast because I worship on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. They also are very vehement about Ellen G. White as a true prophetess, and they try to forward with great dogmatism their distinctives, including soul sleep. But there are also Adventists that don't fall into that traditionalist category. So don't put them in the same category with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, in particular, if they are consistent with their view, which is to say that they, with forethought and premeditation, continue to reject Jesus Christ as the creator of all things. They are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting an essential of the historic Christian faith. The Bible is absolutely clear on this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. To deny that is to deny an essential to historic Christian faith. When I say Jehovah's Witnesses do this by premeditation, they actually take the sacred text of Scripture and insert the word other into the text that I just quoted, such that Jesus is not the creator of all things. He himself is a created being that becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And so you have a direct volitional compromise of the sacred word of God. And the Mormons do the same thing. They relegate Jesus Christ to be the spirit brother of Lucifer of all things. So they are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting essential Christian doctrine. And if they do that with premeditation and forethought, they are not Christians. They're demonstrating that they have denied the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In fact, the Bible uses the word antichrist for this. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist, is against Christ and the precepts and principles of his kingdom.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thanks for your call. We'll go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Jerry listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I listen to your show quite a bit, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just have one quick question. I was having this discussion at work, and one of my coworkers, he's really big on this type of thing. He says, well, can you tell me where did Cain get his wife? And he's trying to allude to there's another generation of people that were created. And that's what he's going on assertion there. He's pulling out of the Genesis account.
Well, you can't do that because what Paul says, and you want to leave the magnifying glass for interpreting the Old Testament scriptures in the hands of the New Testament apostles. And Paul tells us that from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So we know this is not some other generation of person from one man. God created every nation of men. And you take into consideration the fact that Adam lived almost 1,000 years and fulfilled God's charge to be fruitful and to increase in number. And therefore, while the Bible doesn't tell us where Cain got his wife, you could imagine that over 1,000 years, you'd have quite a large progeny, nations that would form over that period of time. And we don't know exactly where Cain and Abel fall in the sequence, whether towards the beginning or towards the end. It is simply one of the stories that is highlighted. And that's what you have in Genesis, because what is ultimately being communicated is God's purposes in creation. So we don't know exactly where they fell in the lineage of Adam and Eve. We're simply not given the answer to that question. So what we can know is that Cain would have married a niece or a sister, and that would not have been a problem because genetic imperfections accumulated gradually over time, and there was therefore no prohibition in the early stages of human civilization against incest.
Yes, yes. Excellent, excellent. You know, that's the one thing I always loved about you. You always have such a calm, cool way of giving God's word, man. I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate you, man. You're doing a great job, man. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
You got it, Jerry. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Betty. She's listening on KARI in British Columbia. Hi.
Hello, Hank.
Hello.
I have a question about Christians and the demonic because a good friend of mine who asked, and she said, Jesus is my Savior. I love him dearly, but I can't stop hating my grandfather for what he did. And she was released, and there were 4 demons residing. And the one identified himself as a demon of hate. And I know that the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I really believe that gives us the power to cast them out.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, I think that when people say that the demon of hate got cast out or the demon of lust got cast out, they shirk their own responsibilities and they've dealt with a phantom problem as opposed to dealing with the real problem. It's a great ruse because there's no moral culpability. If you are genuinely a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will not be shared with a demon. Jesus asked the question, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? In the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil, but in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. The force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, which means God, and that simply isn't going to happen. You do well as believers to simply look at how spiritual warfare works in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I've written a book on it called The Covering. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.